Since its founding in 1926, the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce has been a catalyst for the success of Greater Nashua's diverse business community. Through advocacy, building connections, and professional development, each episode of Chamber Chats spotlights two local businesses sharing their unique journeys, services, and successes. Whether you're a business owner, community member, or curious about our region's businesses, Chamber Chats is the perfect way to connect and get inspired. Welcome to Chamber Chats.
Good morning, Nashua. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 93.5.3 FM, and you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. I'm Alyssa O'Mara, Programs Manager at the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, and I will be one of your hosts today, along with Emma Williamson, Membership Relations Manager. Good morning, Emma.
Hi, Alyssa. You can find us here every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 AM, thanks to our generous sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. Make sure to give both Chamber Chats and the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce a like and follow on Facebook to stay up to date with all of our amazing events and programs. Our first guest today is Barbara LaFrance from Home Health and Hospice. Welcome, Barbara. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Emma.
Of course.
Good morning, Barbara. It's been a minute. We've been catching up and chatting. I'm so excited to talk to you today in this very windy Wizard of Oz.
We might blow away.
Yeah, it's a tornado up here in this booth here. But I'm so excited to talk to you about Home Health and Hospice because it's such an incredible, wonderful organization in our community. And you guys do so much for so many families and people around here. So why don't we jump right in? Can you tell us a little bit specifically about home health and hospice care and what you do? Because I think sometimes people have an idea, a very generalized idea, but they don't really understand all of the services you provide.
Sure. Thank you. Again, thank you for having me here today. So we have had a rich history in the Nashua community, going back from 1883.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Actually, we had our Good Cheer founding organization started with helping those that were needed food and clothing, and they decided what really was needed was health care. And so they hired their first nurse back in 1883, and that became the first VNA here in our community.
Wow.
Yeah. And then over time, we grew to the surrounding communities. And we also added hospice services because there was a need for dying at home. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. and then in the year 2000, we added the additional community hospice house because there was a need for an inpatient setting that wasn't a hospital mm-hmm. to die well. And so now we have the community hospice house, which has 10 beds. We expanded to 16 beds last year. We also have home care services. So a snapshot of what we have today, we serve over 6,000 patients a year.
Wow, that is incredible, Barbara.
Yeah.
That's
people
a lot.
People don't realize how many patients that we touch in the community.
Yeah.
We oversee 23 different communities. So we go out to Wilton, Mason, New Boston, to Concord, and over to Salem.
Okay.
And then we also serve, so today we have 500, there's a lot of wind here.
Yeah, sorry listeners, yeah. If you can hear that, this is bananas.
Yeah, so we have over 540 home health patients. Those are patients that are getting stronger and better at home. We have over 140 hospice patients in their home or in facilities. And in our inpatient hospice house today, we have 12 patients. So that's just a snapshot of who we're caring for today.
Wow. And where is the hospice house located, for those who don't know?
Yeah, it's on 210 Natticook Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Okay. And then when it comes to these services that you offer, is this something that, are your services something that people would reach out to you directly? Will they get referrals from their physicians or their PCPs? Like how would one go about if they needed your services?
Yeah, so all of the above, really. So first of all, we do get a lot of referrals from the hospital setting. So all our care really in our home health services is a gap. from acute care setting to independence at home. So we get a lot of patients that are coming home from the hospital and need our services, specifically our home health services. And so you get a referral. We have liaisons in the hospital to meet with you, to talk to you about our services. So we would get patients from the hospital, or we would get patients from the doctor's offices. They would refer to us also. If you had an exacerbation of illness, you came in and the doctor says you need some services to keep you out of the hospital. But also we get calls, and we encourage those who need information about services at home to just call us. So we have individuals that will take those calls and provide information, and we can also call your doctor for those referrals.
Wow. Very accessible.
Yeah, super accessible. And can you talk a little bit about how at-home hospice care can enhance someone's quality of life, especially in those end stages?
Sure. So we have a team. What's important when you have a diagnosis that's end of life, we have a team of individuals that will help you plan for the future. And that helps you with being in control at a very difficult time. And so this team includes doctors, nurses, social workers, chaplains, and they meet with you when you come on to our services for hospice services. We meet with you and you decide what you want for how to live well for the time you have left. And so we have doctors and nurses that will help you with comfort care and help you with medication management. And we have social workers that will help with, you know, the emotional charged time. They also will help you with planning. Maybe you want to go to a graduation, or maybe you want to go to a wedding, or maybe you just want to spend your time in your garden. Mm-hmm. So our teams focus all around that, and it helps you be in control and helps you plan forward.
I love that. Okay. Including those life moments that some might think they have to miss out on because of their diagnosis or their condition.
Right. And that's what the whole team surrounds you with and helps you. And even at the hospice cell, sometimes most patients do want to die at home, but it's not always possible because you may need advanced treatments or pain. So having that community hospice house readily available 24/7 whenever you need it to go to, we can also have those life moments there. We've had weddings.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about expectations. I know you just talked kind of about the what people can expect, the services that you offer. What about for support for family members and things like that? If their loved one is in the hospice house, per say, what can they expect for that experience?
Yeah, so at the hospice house, first of all, there's no visiting hours.
Okay.
So, and the family can stay there 24/7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so at the hospice house, we have, you know, the patient room, but right attached is a sitting area and almost like an apartment style room for the family. A pull-out couch, you can stay overnight, you can bring food in. So that just itself provides that support, because you can be with your loved one, but you have that 24/7 nursing support.
Yeah.
Wow. So you do not have to worry about being a caregiver any longer.
Wow.
You know, you can just be that family. But we do have social workers and chaplains, so counselors, that are there to help with that anticipatory grief, which we all have.
Yep.
You know, like when you lose, everybody's lost someone, we know how hard and challenging it can be. And so our counselors who are specialized, just think about, you know, when you need knee surgery or hip surgery to go to orthopedics, you need that specialized care that we provide, you know, when the time comes. And so we have that to help you. And then a year after you lose someone, we provide bereavement counseling.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible, Barbara. I mean, you know, as you said, everyone has lost someone, but I do feel like, you know, every loss is different, but that experience of losing someone maybe slowly through illness can be harder because the grieving process starts right from the diagnosis, right?
Right.
So you know it's coming, and it's, oh my God, that breaks my heart, but it's wonderful that you offer such wonderful services for them.
Yeah, and you know, when you have hospice services, we see that the grief after is better because we have helped you through the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I wish I could have that in every aspect of my life.
It is true. You know, people always say that they wait to go on hospice services. but they had come on earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can understand that. Like, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, on Facebook, and on WSMN.live. We are chatting with Barbara LaFrance of Home Health and Hospice. Barbara, let's talk about myth busting. Let's myth bust here, because as I said at the beginning, some people I think have a general idea, but what kind of preconceived notions do people come in with? What are some big myths about hospice care?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest myth is it's about giving up.
Oh.
And it's really about living your life to the fullest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you have a serious illness, a lot of time is focused on treatment, but what we focus on is living the way you want to live for the time you have left. And so that is really important. And we also add treatments. So that's what people think, that we can continue some of those curative treatments, but we add that whole team of support. So you actually have an additional help, and people can live longer on hospice. And I think if you think about Jimmy Carter, how long he lived on hospice, you know, over 2 years because of all that support and care, and he did what he wanted and lived well. So that's the biggest myth. The other myth is it's 6 months or less. So that is like a Medicare insurance term. Okay. But our doctors can certify you every 6 months to stay on hospice as long as your progression of disease continues. So it's not a 6 months or less. So
okay. So it's just 6 month increments, kind
Correct.
Of is how it's sounding.
Correct.
That's really important information. That's a huge myth that you just busted.
I had that notion in my head because, you know, just what it's what you hear, right? 6 months, if you're on hospice, it's 6 months or less, not
I had no idea. I would have thought that would be for people who are able to, like, pay out of pocket or something like
As long as your physician certifies you, then you can, you know, re-up on your hospice benefit. And you can come off hospice at any time. So I think that's what people think, that once they're on hospice, but sometimes you graduate because you do so much better once we take you off medications and you focus on living and you stay out of all those treatments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can, what they call revoke hospice, but you come off hospice and you can go back to your treatments or whatever at any time.
Wow. That's incredible too.
Yeah.
Who knew that happened?
Right.
All right. Well, that's optimistic. I like
that. It's a positive way to look at it.
Yeah. What about the future of home health and hospice? I mean, you said that 2000 is when you guys opened the hospice house, right?
Yeah.
So that's an anniversary coming up this year. Anything else new on the horizon?
Yeah. So on our home health side, so we do a lot of skilled care for patients that are coming out of the hospital and getting better. Right. Mm-hmm. And so 500 of our patients are in the home health arena. And so those patients, technology is really going to be key to keeping people out of the hospital and at home rehabilitating.
Okay.
And so we see more remote monitoring, and we see more ability to do more advanced treatments in the home, where you really want to be to recover, because it's less stressful and you're more in control. So when you're home, we see that home care services in general are going to just grow.
Wow. And how many service providers do you have right now? Like how big is your staff right now?
Yeah. So we have 230 employees.
Wow.
Yeah. So that includes, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, again, those that are strengthening you to get better in our home care side. And then we have registered nurses. We have two physicians, nurse practitioners. So it's a really robust team.
Yeah. That's incredible. I had no idea your staff was that large. Yeah. I mean, I know you serve a large population, obviously. I mean, 6,000 people you said.
Like,
that's a lot. But that's an incredibly huge staff. One of the things that I love to ask our guests on this show is to talk about twofold here. First, one of the challenges that you're seeing with your organization, if there's anything, you know, legislatively that you guys are having to work against, or community wise things that you were trying to shift perspectives on, perhaps. Is there anything that you would share with us that is a kind of a challenge that you're trying to work through that maybe people who are listening could support with?
Yeah, I think in general, all healthcare is faced with increasing costs and inflation. and the cost of salaries and technology. So I think we're faced with the same thing that everyone is. And so we are very, very fortunate that our community supports our events and donations for our hospice house. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to need to advance in any technology or deal with inflation like everyone else's, our rates from the government, you know, we're federally funded, are pretty flat. Mm-hmm. So to attend our events is great. And to help us in that way in philanthropy, but also to volunteer. So we have over 150 volunteers who supplement all the things that we do. And at the hospice house, they help with our gardens. They help with cooking. They meet with families just to give them tours. They do music therapy, pet therapy. So I encourage you, you know, to help us in any way. If you want to volunteer, that's an awesome opportunity to give back to us.
That's fantastic as well. I think that a lot of people probably have that misconception that if you're not medically inclined, if you don't have that background, maybe you can't volunteer with an organization like yours. But that's awesome. So if you just love gardening and you're listening right now, call Home Health and Hospice and help them with their gardening this spring.
That's right.
Yeah. I love it. Barbara, can you share with our listeners maybe a really positive, impactful story, like an accomplishment or something that you're super proud of that your organization has done in recent years?
Yeah, I think the hospice house is is the biggest story for this community because there's three hospice houses in New Hampshire, and there are a lot of hospice houses that don't survive because of, again, the federally funding. So we were able to expand. First of all, we were able to build our hospice house all on community support and no debt. And we just expanded due to a donation from the Steele Foundation for Hope. Wow. So again, that community support, we're so proud of that we continue to sustain ourselves and that beautiful hospice house for the community by the community. And we're proud that we continue to be respected and valued by the community. They continue to keep our doors open.
Fantastic, Barbara. Could you also, this is more of a personal question, but I also like to ask, especially when we have high-level leadership from an organization, for perhaps some of the newer listeners who are maybe new to their careers or looking to get involved in some capacity, how is there like an author or a teacher or a podcast or something like that that has had an impact on how you lead your organization that you would recommend someone listen to or read or something like that?
Yeah, for me, I'm a fellow of the healthcare executive. And that to go through that process of becoming a fellow was very important for me because I have a network of peers and leaders to be board certified as a healthcare executive. And so I, throughout my years, I've been able to connect with local New Hampshire fellows and those that are national. And so we have to have, there's certain requirements and leadership skills to attend those conferences. And that's where I've really lent on.
Okay, awesome. That's great. And so that would be for anyone in the medical profession?
In the medical field, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
I feel like sometimes having a support network of peers or colleagues that maybe are in organizations that some people consider like competition or the other, you know, that the other hospice houses, like sometimes people view that as competition and maybe I shouldn't talk to them or get their opinions. But having that support network of people that you can bounce ideas off of or say, hey, I experienced this. Is this something that you guys have gone through before? It's so valuable. And sometimes it can teach you more than reading or books could, right? Like having those testimonials or just real experiences from other people.
I agree. And I think that, you know, we're part of a state association of home care and hospice agencies. And I'm actually on the board of the Alliance of Home Care and Hospice. So that's a great network too. But the fellow helps me be part of a bigger system, like you said, because you learn from other like hospital CEOs or from, you know, it's not, we're all in it together, and we all have the same challenges, and it's important to go to other leadership classes and things to learn.
Yeah. It's funny. So this has been a common thread, I feel like, through a lot of our interviews lately, is people talking about you have to have multiple communities that you are able to go to throughout mm-hmm. your career, right? Like you have your immediate within your work, your organization, you have your local, like Nashua community, Southern New Hampshire, then the hospital networks, exactly like that. And it's beautiful to see that so many of our local businesses and nonprofits have those kinds of networks of support around them. And just the nonprofits in general, the fact that all of the things that you do to work together to help each other throughout this, you know, are there any specific nonprofits that you end up, you know, collaborating with on anything ever, like Meals on Wheels or something like that? Is there any crossover, I guess, between your patient care and other organizations?
Always, like always. Meals on Wheels. Always there's a collaborative between any of the resources in the community, because they refer to us and we refer to them.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when we have patients in need, for example, like Meals on Wheels, like we discharge patients or they come home from the hospital and they're no longer able to do that care, then we would refer to any of the organizations, the nonprofit organizations. And they are the same. They're their eyes and ears out there.
Right.
Right. And so they know about us. And it's important to know that you can refer to us at any time.
Yeah.
So any of the organizations in our community, we work with all of them.
That's incredible. Barbara, this has been a fantastic conversation.
Yes.
I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. We had a wonderful time.
Yes.
Where can people find you? Yes. What's your website?
Oh, good question, Emma. Yeah. I totally forgot.
What's your phone number? Well, not your phone number, but your organization's phone number.
Yep. It's hhc.org.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. And 603-889-2941. Awesome. But you can go on our website and look. And again, welcome call. We welcome tours for our hospice house at any time.
We always have to do that.
We should, yeah.
We haven't done that yet. We'll would love to. That. Paula has told us to before, so.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's important to come see it when you don't need it, because then you know it's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
It's all about the preparedness.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, yes. Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara, so much. When Alyssa and I come back, we will be joined by Michael Krieger of Prime Marketing Expert. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM, live on air and online at WSMN.live and Facebook. We will be right back after this short break.
Whether you're shopping along 101A, working out at one of the many boutique gyms or studios in the area, or simply enjoying a nice day out with the kids, you need healthy fuel to keep you going. Look no further than Clean Juice Nashua, your local neighborhood juice bar. Hi, I'm Mary Beth Fiango, owner of Clean Juice. We are located at 2 Cellu Drive in Nashua. Clean Juice is the only USDA-certified juice bar that offers you the purest, organic, cold-pressed, never-processed juices, smoothies with hemp and whey protein, acai bowls, like our fan favorite, the Berry Bowl, in small bites like avocado toast and barbecue chicken wrap to help you thrive and stay on the go. For more information, visit us online at cleanjuice.com or stop by at Clean Juice 2 Cellu Drive, Nashua. Stay fresh, stay healthy. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Tony Joyce from Joyce Cooling and Heating. Now that winter is here, your comfort and indoor air quality are more important than ever. A new heating system with a state-of-the-art air purification, humidification, or zoning options can make hibernating a lot more pleasant. Upgrading to any type system will save you money and ensure a worry-free system. Don't wait until you have no heat. And remember, that's Joyce Cooling and Heating, 882-4244, or on the web at joycecool.com.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at unitedwaynashua.org.
Catalyst, a person who empowers growth. I have been a catalytic agent for positive change for individuals, couples, families, and even businesses for over 30 years. If you want to achieve more of your potential, feel better in the life you're living, and want to maximize your business potential, check out what I do at kevinrossemery.com. P.S. I'm also an ADD-ADHD catalyst, helping those gifted to step more into their greatness.
Welcome back to Chamber Chats. I'm Alyssa O'Mara, and I am here with my co-host, Emma Williamson. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. You can also watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. Don't forget to give us a like and a follow on social media so you can stay up to date with all of our latest events. Events like what, Emma? Tell us.
The Chamber's Business After Hours is coming up on Wednesday, February 12th. It's going to be hosted at Day's Jewelers. So if you are a Chamber member, hop on our website, get registered for that. If you are not a Chamber member and you're listening and you're interested in Chamber events, please reach out to me. My email is on our website. I'd be happy to chat with you. We also have coming up in February, on Thursday, February 20th, the 9th annual mini golf tournament hosted at Bishop Girton. It's awesome. It's indoor mini golf. It's super fun. It's a great night of networking.
Bring your friends. Bring your coworkers. Get a team together. There is a photo booth. There's a bar. There's food.
We are also looking for sponsors for the greens. You can decorate your green if you're a sponsor. That way people attending the event can learn a little bit about you.
And you get a prize. We give prizes out for best decorated green and winners for the mini golf tournament itself, as well as most honest, which would be the lowest score, like something that I possibly would have. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a great mini golfer. Think Happy Gilmore. That's my attitude when I am mini golfing.
We also have coming up next month on Tuesday, February 25th, Coffee Connections, which is our morning networking hosted at Coffee and Kindness. I just came from there today. And then on Wednesday, February 26th, we have Making the Most of Your Membership, which is a Zoom so that you Chamber members know all about your membership, all about your benefits, especially the marketing ones that are sometimes overlooked or forgotten about because it's not networking. And I'd be happy to share more about any of those. So
you should definitely do Making the Most of Your Membership if you have not already done that before. That is an extremely important aspect of your membership. It's going to give you all those details, and you're right, marketing is one that people always forget. But luckily, we're going to talk a little bit about marketing right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And thank you to our generous sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. Our next guest today, big welcome to Michael Krieger from Prime Marketing Experts. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Doing great.
Michael also just came from Coffee Connection.
Were you also just at Coffee Connection?
Yes, indeed.
Michael, you attend a lot of our events, actually.
Oh, yes. Great to be part of the community where my business is here. I live in Nashua.
That's awesome. Yeah, we love seeing you at everything. And if you haven't met Michael, stop by Out of the Box, Business After Hours. It'll be super fun. Let's jump right in. Let's do some chatting about your business here, Michael. So I like to do a little research beforehand, obviously, because we're professionals here on the radio. Just kidding. But we try. You know, you are a full-service, relationship-driven marketing firm. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I think that by itself is kind of unique for you, for a marketing firm, that you are relationship-driven.
Great. Yeah. So we pride ourselves in developing long-term relationships. It's all about, you know, developing, you know, a solid understanding of someone's business. And then we go from there. Usually it's finding a way to optimize the website, potentially building a new website. And then from there, we build from there in terms of marketing services that may make sense, including social media, SEO, Google Bing ads, email marketing, lead scoring from there. So you know who's your best lead at any given time.
And you just threw around a lot of terms. We don't even, I need some explanation on some of those.
I know most people think marketing, they're like printed material, but so much marketing is digital
now.
Yeah,
you're talking SEOs now and website development and all of that, right?
Yeah, so the great thing is you can actually measure what you see, and some of the more traditional methods of marketing have gone digital. So as you may notice as you're driving along in the highway, those billboards that line the highway, many of them now are digital, where your ad is displayed for 10 seconds at a time. So we help out with those as well.
Oh, I wouldn't have even thought of that as a part of digital marketing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's the good thing, that you don't have to be locked into an expensive contract. You know, you can always see and you know, dip your toe into the water in that world and see if it works for you, and then go from there and, you know, invest in more time and more billboards, if that makes sense.
Wow. Awesome. So, Michael, you've been doing this for a long time, this marketing thing, and you started this business, Prime Marketing, in 2017. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing that for a while now. I like to ask especially our small business entrepreneurs, why? What drove you to start your own business instead of just working for someone else? Because there's always a story there.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a great question. So I always was more in the line of driven to start my own business through virtually just reading books. And believe it or not, the real pivotal book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then I read a lot of other books from there that only increased my motivation. And then, you know, from there I used to run a nonprofit organization, Health Innovators, marketed a lot with that, and started taking a lot of ad hoc jobs, which pretty much was the beginning of Prime Marketing Experts. And eventually that led to developing that brand around the company that I have today.
Awesome. Wow. I love that you just mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because that's another question that I always ask our entrepreneurs is, if you could recommend one book or one author or teacher or something to someone else who's considering maybe opening their own business or going out on their own. So would that be the book you'd tell everyone to read it?
Exactly. Very motivational, easy to read, even for someone who doesn't like to read books too much into audio books, you know, very easy to digest.
Awesome.
That can be important too with motivational, like self-development kind of books, because some of those can be challenging to read, right? That's not really like the headspace you're in, like, that's great. Anything that's easily digestible. I'm not the biggest reader, so that's appealing to me.
Michael, let's talk a little bit about the businesses that you serve, because you're kind of focused, you're honed in on specific businesses, right? Like smaller size, nonprofit.
Correct. A lot of small, you know, businesses, some nonprofits as well. So we actually have some great services for nonprofits. We service you know, the Greater Lowell, the Habitat for Humanity, which was one of our very first clients. And so we actually helped them keep their restore arm of the organization sustainable when they had to move from Tingsboro to Billerica, from a more to less desirable location, through our actually Google Ads for Nonprofits program. So that actually allows nonprofits to get up to $10,000 in advertising value per month.
Oh, wow.
From Google, okay, at no charge to them. And they go to an agency like us to actually manage that grant, because, of course, that grant comes with a whole host of rules.
Of course, of yes, what you as can they do.
And cannot do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating, yeah, though. And do you assist them with that grant process, or do they already do they apply for the grant and then come to you with it?
Yes. Yeah, so we give them a hand if they need that, you know. So it's a pretty easy process to apply for. But of course, the more technical part is in the setting up of the account and actually managing it and keeping up with the changing regulations.
Got it. So we've been doing a little bit of myth busting in this episode.
Yeah.
We love it. We've
it's
done
a little
it
the theme today.
Yeah, the last few episodes we've played this little myth busting game. So I would love to hear from you. What do you see as like some common myths that new clients will come to you with regarding website or social media or marketing in general? Like, do they walk in and they think you have to have $1 million a month to spend and
X amount of followers?
Yeah, what's the most common misconceptions people have?
Yeah, so I think the most common misconception is that you can do it yourself. At its very core, and what I like to advise people, you know, to think about is that when you have a professional by your side, starting out with a great foundation where you're having a website that develops a strong brand reputation is just valuable in and of itself. And on another hand, a lot of people can go to ChatGPT, you know, take content right from there and throw it on their website, and it actually just, you know, turns people off. It turns Google off these days as well.
Wait, are you saying that like Google can actually tell if it's an AI generated content?
Yes, indeed.
And they will prioritize actual creative content over AI generated.
Yes, indeed.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't know that. That's a huge piece of information, Michael.
And that's one of the things that we do. You know, not only we actually do a lot of you know, SEO wordsmithing, we actually make sure we run it through a AI detector just to make sure anything that we create is not construed as AI generated.
Wow.
Because it just does not do anything.
And this is why delegating can be huge sometimes. Yes. We're talking about this at Coffee Connections, the small group of us, that sometimes delegating can be so hard, but it's so beneficial in the end. And some people don't think of it, but hiring someone to do your marketing, that's a delegation, right? It's a weight off your shoulders. You're trusting a piece of your business in the hands of someone else, and that can be huge.
I have to say, so I also used to be a small business owner, and now I love that my job is helping other small business owners in the business community. But when I opened my business, the most helpful piece of information anyone ever gave me was, if it does not bring you joy, if this is an aspect of your business that doesn't bring you joy, throw some money at it and find someone who loves it to do it for you. And that's exactly what you do, right? Like, you enjoy that side of it. I think also people have a misconception with, especially like social media marketing, like you're saying, like pumping out something from AI generated and whatever. And even if you choose to do that, a lot of people think you just throw it out there and that's it. They don't understand that to get those metrics and to get likes and follows, you have to be interacting as well, right?
Exactly. So that's one of the things that we've done a lot. You know, A/B tested different, you know, genuinely creative content and AI generated content on our own accounts. And we've definitely have had a lot of interaction with people in terms of what do people really prefer. And I've seen time and time again, it's the actual genuine content, actually taking your own photos and actually posting them yourself. When you actually think of even regular stock images versus AI generated images, we've even seen people even prefer stock images from a library like deposit photos.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM on Facebook and on WSMN.live. We're chatting with Michael Krieger of Prime Marketing Experts. And so, Michael, you said that you work with the businesses to be relationship focused. So to me, I interpret that as while social media, maybe Meta advertising, might do great for one business, another one might need more SEO focused marketing. Is that true that you work with the businesses in that aspect too? Of, let's not just pick one and stick with it. Let's see which one works best and performs best.
Exactly. So what I do like to, how I think about that a lot of times is if it's more of like a business that has a specific intent of someone that is searching for a specific service. Mm-hmm. Typically, I'll be more search engine heavy with a certain client. But if it's like more of a business where I would have some sort of, you know, spur of the moment need that says, hey, you know, let's grab Chinese food or let's grab a ice cream cone or something like that. That's something where I would direct those people more into the social media lane. So sometimes it's a balance of both, and sometimes we'll drive people a lot more to one end or another.
Nice. Guests, just if you're listening right now, we apologize for our fourth guest, which is the wind today. If you are hearing that, it's definitely, I'm trying to adjust microphones, but it is for sure being picked up. So
if we blow away, that's why. Yeah, you know why.
If we're not here in 2 weeks, it's because we were sucked away by a tornado or something. But Michael, can you talk a little bit also about, you know, we've talked about your kind of your target audience, your clients that you work with. You kind of have something for every business, it sounds like, which is fantastic. What about, you know, a personal success story for you? Like, what's a good, do you have like a milestone for your business, something that you hit that you were like, this is the moment. I am so proud of us for doing this.
Exactly. So we've had a lot of successes over the years. You know, but the great thing is when you see individual businesses grow a lot, you know, based on what you did for them. So as one of the pure examples, we helped in a Mata Body out of Lawrence, also a Nashua Chamber member, launch a website that launched May of last year. And from that time, they've noticed an overall 40% jump in their business and a 50% share of business within Lawrence itself.
Wow.
Which
wow.
That used to be a lot more mixed, and Lawrence used to be like a 10 to 15% share of where business geographically came from.
Wow.
So that meant that, you know, the SEO aspect of the service really picked up well for them, as well as the search engine ads that we ran for them. So that actually was a really good recent success story where I actually met them through a car accident.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's how I developed the relationship. And so they took my car within a week that first time, and then I noticed that their wait list has actually grown to 6 weeks.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Look at you. That's some really good statistics right there. That's
something I like too, Michael, that you are mentioning is not just what you offer for your clients and your, you know, the businesses you work with. It's not just, yes, we do the SEO, yes, we do the marketing. It's you track it, you get those numbers, get those metrics. So the business owner, I feel like marketing is something, if someone doesn't have, like, they're not keen on it, they sometimes don't understand it, it can be very overwhelming. And having that physical, numerical, yes, it's working, that's huge for business owners.
Absolutely. And I would second that. And I think oftentimes, as you said, Emma, like maybe people don't understand that. But at the same time, like, you're just rattling these numbers off the top of your head. So if you have a client who does know those numbers and wants to see them increases, those are huge jumps. I mean,
yeah,
that's a big deal. So well done, Michael. Mm-hmm. Love that. Goodness gracious, this wind.
I'm like, this wind is also loving the stats that you're offering.
Yeah, clearly. It's yeah. giving you a round of applause here.
The wind is cheering crazy. For you.
I hope if people are listening can't hear it, they're going to be like, these people are crazy today. But it's loud in here. So we've talked a little bit, we've talked a lot about some of the services you offer, the relationship-driven aspect of your business, which is fantastic. Do you have any thoughts on like new trends coming up? Like, I know that, you know, last year we talked about the fact that, you know, Instagram and Facebook Meta was changing their algorithms. So mm-hmm. for some businesses, it was going to be different keywords needed to be added and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then other people have said, you know, don't put your money into Meta at all. You should be putting it into Google because that's where it is. Any fun facts, any hints at trends that are coming our way for where to advertise?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times, like every platform's algorithm is changing mm-hmm, on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis. But what I'm seeing is that people are looking for more and more authenticity. So that's why we even recently relaunched our own website, custom developed right from scratch. You can snap your fingers and within that time a page will load whatever you click on, and when you build that more authenticity and more of a look, you're just gonna actually set yourself apart more and more as AI becomes more and more of a thing. I've also seen search engine competition increase. Articles that actually used to rank very well a year ago, that in terms of the best practices that they were built on a year ago, now requires 3,000 words in the article rather than 2,000 words. So, a lot of more work is needed to stay competitive.
That's so interesting. And like when it comes to ads, like if you're doing Google ads or something like that, because you're talking about like content itself, right? Like mm-hmm. putting those keywords into your content, which will help generate that. But then, you know, if you're doing the boosting with the Google ads, you want to use different keywords, I would imagine, right? So that you're kind of being popped up in different ways, or is that a myth and you want to keep it the same?
So it's a little bit different. So the example that I was actually just referring to is our Instagram growth article.
Okay.
Which we just actually revised in a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, learning that, you know, we needed to add 1,000 words to it to stay competitive. But when you're actually, bidding on keywords in terms of Google ads or even Bing ads, generally you want keywords with a commercial intent on it. So someone that is directly looking for your services. So like one of the keywords that I bid on a lot is website development services, because that is someone that is specifically looking for a service that I offer, very foundational to business growth, and I can always upsell them into digital marketing.
Because that phrase itself is something people will put into Google word for word, and because you have those three words pieced together in that order, Google will be like, oh yeah, this is what you want. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Interesting.
Is that why a lot of fitness studios will do like local fitness studio to Nashua, New Hampshire, you know, something like that? Because
correct.
It's a more generalized statement that people are just Googling straight out.
The thing with fitness studios is that you want to be a little bit more careful about your intent. So like a Planet Fitness is a lot more different than a Tidal Boxing say a Pilates studio. That there are two different customer groups that are looking for two different things. So you want to make sure that you differentiate between those two customer intent.
So just the fact that you know that, Michael, is very impressive to me because, fun fact, I don't know if you remember this, but Emma and I both used to teach at Spenga, and you came in a few times at times.
Yes. I remember you.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yes. So we used to teach there, and I was one of the managers, and so was Emma.
Yes.
But part of our role, obviously, was to talk to our marketing people, and we were
to
a franchise, so we had like a corporate one that we had mm-hmm. to use. And the amount of times I would talk to them and be like, I don't like when you Google us, mm-hmm. if you Google the like spin in Nashua, we don't come up. And they were like, well, that's because we put you under yoga and things like that. And I was like, okay, but that's not, there's, you, first of all, yoga is way more expensive because there's 10,000 yoga studios around here. And we are the only spin studio. I don't understand why like cycle, spin, biking isn't being used. But that's exactly what you're talking about. Like not every facility, not every organization is looking for those same keywords. Their perfect best client ever is going to be different than the one down the street.
Correct. So actually, I actually remember you ladies, and funny enough, I actually subscribed to a fitness app called ClassPass, and I was scrolling and I saw both of your names.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's like I've been
that's awesome.
It,
full
so,
circle.
So
moment.
So all these fitness studios know my name.
Yes.
A lot, including Tidal Boxing and
shameless plug for ClassPass.
Yeah, and I just started going to Yo-Yo Gi and Wyndham and Humble Warrior in Manchester.
Nice. Michael, we are coming down. We're coming down to the wire now. This has been a very interesting and quick conversation. Went by very fast for me today. Let's real quick share with our audience, how do people get in touch with you? What's the website? What's the email address? What's the socials?
Definitely. So our website is www.primemarketingexperts.com. Feel free to call my phone 617-651-1457. Email is hello@primemarketingexperts.com. You know, you can also find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn.
You're everywhere.
Awesome.
All
yeah.
the socials. We love it.
That's
well,
so
thank you so much for being here with us, Michael.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You.
Great to be here.
It was wonderful to chat with you. I've just lost my pages.
That's fine.
Here. Oh, Emma, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, it has.
Thank you,
thank
for
you
being
Wind,
here.
For being
yeah,
a surprise guest.
Yeah, thank you for
today.
Our fourth guest, Wind. Yeah. Listeners, join us again in 2 weeks when we will be joined by two more Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce businesses. You have been listening to WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM Chamber Chats. Don't forget, you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN Live. Make sure you give us a follow on social, and we will see you again in a couple weeks. Have a great day.